friends. Welcome to Sky House Herbs Podcast. I'm Ashley Ellenboss, a clinical herbalist, and in this space, I share my knowledge and experience with plant medicine to help you on your own journey of healing and transformation. Join me in exploring the ancient wisdom of plant spirit medicine and how it can be used to heal the body, mind, and spirit. We'll talk to experts in the field and share stories from people who've been transformed by powerful plant allies. New episodes are released each Monday, so please subscribe. And now, let's explore this mystical world of plant medicine together. Hey everyone, welcome in. Today I'll be joined by my husband. Actually, I'll be joining him on his channel. So we'll be joined together to talk about the three biggest transits of the year ahead. This is a little bit of a preview of our Roots and Spheres course that we offer every year. And you can get a seat in our Roots and Spheres course at a discounted price by joining our Kickstarter. So I'll include a link below in the description where you can find the Kickstarter and make your pledge. And every pledge will help us, even if it's a smaller, even if you can't do the full program, there's a lot of other options. But I'm really excited to share with you three plants, three big cycles, and then mark your calendars. And there was one little insight I had at the end. So if you are planning travel or like maybe planning a big event or some sort of social gathering, I'll just give you a little hint of what's ahead. But for the June moon cycle, mark your calendars because for that new moon and that full cycle would be a great time to get out, have an adventure, invite friends, you know, do something very social and very fun and very adventurous. And I have a feeling that cycle is going to be magical. Pair it with the plant that I talk about in the video, and then magic galore. So I hope you enjoy this video. Thank you for watching. If you haven't subscribed yet, please just click on the subscribe button and share the video if you think someone else might also benefit from learning about the biggest cycles of the year and three plants that can help.
All right, so today we are taking a look at the most exciting, the most dynamic lunar cycles of 2024. We're also going to take time today to preview our Roots and Spheres program, which is a program that meets before the new and full moons every cycle to break down the astrology, to work with various rituals and plant allies that we pair with the moon cycles. So not only today are we going to be looking at the biggest lunar cycles of the year ahead and trying to give you some sense of what they include on an archetypal level, but we're going to tell you, Ashley's going to join me today, my wife Ashley, who's an herbalist. She's going to join us to tell us a little bit about the plant allies that we will be working with during those cycles through our Roots and Spheres program. So you can learn something about these cycles, learn about the plants we're going to be pairing them with, get a little sneak preview of what the Roots and Spheres program is all about in case you'd like to join us in January. On that note, I'm very glad to welcome Ashley back to the show. It's been a while. Hey.
Hey, good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. I'm really excited for a new year of looking at lunar cycles and community and working with plants and lunar cycles and community. It was really, really fun. Last year was our first year. We learned a whole lot. We've made some big adjustments to how the program is going to work, you know, because you learn a lot the first year of doing something. But we sat down and looked at all of the cycles of the year ahead, matched up a whole new set of plant allies. We do have, I think there's maybe 2 months out of the year where we have a returning guest from last year because there was just the most appropriate plant.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. And it's like, but I mean, I think those who retake the course will be really excited about those too, because yeah, they're really great allies.
They're very good plant allies to work with. Yeah. I want to start off by just saying that it's always a bit of a debate when trying to make the case for one moon cycle versus another being the most potent in a year ahead. I'm always surprised. Every year, I always highlight three or four moon cycles that I think, okay, these are going to be very dynamic. I'm usually right about, you know, most of them, but there will always be a moon cycle or two that will surprise me. I'll have underestimated it. You know what I mean? So I issue that qualifier to know that as the year goes on, there are going to be other cycles that'll surprise us. I think these are going to be some of the biggest and most dynamic. So these are the ones that we're going to look at today. I have intentionally left out we're going to talk briefly about an eclipse cycle that's coming in April. eclipse cycles kind of win no matter what, you know. So I'm looking at non-eclipse cycle cycles because it's almost unfair. It's like they have an unfair competitive advantage. So I'm going to briefly mention the spring eclipses. I'm going to leave out the autumn eclipses because the spring eclipses are, in my opinion, much more potent this year. I will mention them in passing, but we're going to look at three cycles this year outside of the eclipse cycles that are probably the most dynamic of the year. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Yeah. So notable moon cycles of the year. It really begins with the February 9th new moon cycle that comes right on the heels of Pluto's entrance into Aquarius. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to put this up on the screen, but I'm realizing as I'm doing this, I just need to change one thing on my screen here. Okay. I'm going to share the screen now. Here we go. Boom. We're off to the races. Okay. So if we take this forward to about January 20th, Pluto enters the sign of Aquarius right around that time, along with the Sun. We go forward just a couple weeks later on February 9th, and we just have such a powerful example of a new moon. Here is a new moon in the sign of Aquarius that is forming in a very tight square with Uranus. We have just had Pluto enter the sign of Aquarius, and Mercury is also in Aquarius at the moment as a morning star. So heavy emphasis on Aquarius, heavy emphasis on Uranus and Taurus, just after Pluto's ingress into Aquarius. This moon cycle there's a couple of things that come to my mind. And I'm going to move something over here so I can read. I have a few notes that I wrote down. One of the things that's interesting about this is that when Pluto enters Aquarius, it's sort of like we have unconsciously hired a consultant to come in and look at the architecture of our lives in some particular area of our life. Pluto in Aquarius starts saying, let's remake your life by means of new ideas that may also take you in new directions socially or culturally, politically, philosophically, intellectually, or religiously. So Pluto is ushering in a kind of architectural transformation of our lives by virtue of changing the ideas that guide and shape our lives. A new moon in Aquarius reamplifies that theme in February, while also squaring Uranus and Taurus. Now, Uranus has something in common. Of course, modern astrologers associate Uranus with the sign of Aquarius. As a traditional astrologer, I don't look at outer planets as ruling signs, but does Uranus have some things in common with Aquarius? Of course, there's some really interesting correlations. Chief among them being that Uranus is associated with Prometheus in mythology. And Prometheus is the character who steals the fire from the gods. And what is the fire? The fire are the Aedae, the Archai, the archetypes. The archetypes are like ideas in the mind of God. And these ideas they have the power to shape, reshape, revise, and direct civilization, humanity as a whole, or our personal lives. When you have a Uranus opposition, we call it the midlife crisis, because people are trying to dismantle the ideas governing their lives and install new ones. And for most people, that constitutes a kind of crisis. A crisis of the images that we have been associated with and the new ones that we want to take to going forward. So that's why we call it a midlife crisis. That's the Uranus opposition, which happens between 40 and 44. So when you pair all of this kind of transformation of the ideas by means of which we live, and you pair that Aquarian emphasis alongside of a square to Uranus in Taurus, you're doubly amplifying the ideas that are trying to find new ways of expressing themselves. And that concept, that's a very revolutionary impulse. You know, this is the kind of cycle paired with Pluto changing signs that is really signifying the impulse to completely revamp things. And with Uranus and Taurus, of course, the impulse is earthy. It's sensual. It seeks embodiment in the physical, sensual domain of life. You could think of that this like one image that comes to mind would be like new ideas, new technologies that guide and shape health, wellness, and beauty. That's a very simple example. There are going to be others that don't fit that mold. Another one would be ideas that shape how we treat the earth going forward from here. Another kind of like an appropriate expression of these energies and symbols. But now imagine that you're taking that and you're putting it into your life, relationships, jobs, family, health. How are these ideas seeking expression in the physical, sensual domain of your life? In one particular area, wherever the whole sign house of Taurus is, for example, that's why this cycle is so powerful. Now, of course, as the cycle goes on, there are a lot of things that happen within the cycle that make it more interesting, but I'm just going to stick to that signature of the new moon itself and the seeding moment of the cycle that will be carrying out like a gong, and the waves are just carrying that initial strike out through the entire cycle. We have a really interesting plant ally that we're going to be working with in our roots and spheres circle, which again, I highly recommend you all check out, because this community is a great way to join in on an exploration of the astrology every month, paired with rituals, journaling, all optional, and plant allies that you can literally take ritualistically throughout the cycle to help align yourself with the expression of the astrological energies. Anyway, we'll tell you more about how you can join and sign up later if you want. It's through the Kickstarter, by the way, that you can pick it up for on sale until New Year's Eve. But the plant that we're working with for this one is Damiana. Ashley, will you tell us about Damiana and what makes Damiana such a fitting ally for the themes that we just discussed?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we look at the Taurus energy, you know, Uranus and Taurus, part of what the deep transformation of Pluto is trying to get us to do, I think, in this cycle is to break free of maybe ideas, qualities, beliefs that are going to keep us from living on the earth, in our bodies, in a supported and sensual way. And Damiana is a very erotic herb. I mean, it's traditionally used in Mexico as an herb of longevity and stamina. So people would, in Mexico, they would grind up the leaves, because the medicine is in the leaves, and make it into a powder and create little balls that they would travel with. So in order to go long distances and to travel long journeys, they would need an herb that would give them stamina. But also, the cool thing about Damiana is it also gives you pleasure and stamina. So that's a really nice thing, I think, for this particular moon cycle, is to have a plant that is going to help you endure the hardships of Pluto and maybe the rattling of Uranus, but at the same time, give you a really embodied experience and help you to touch back into your senses. So what I found using this plant in myself, and also using it with clients and students, a lot of people experience this plant as opening up the gates of perception, and really in a grounded way. It's not going to alter your mind like maybe some entheogenic or psychedelic plants, where yes, your senses are awake, but you're also kind of floating above your body in some way. Damiana gives you that experience of really having your senses heightened, but being fully grounded, present in your body with all your faculties intact. And I just think that's going to be a really helpful, supportive experience as you're moving through and making these changes. And also, you know, when Adam was saying, you were saying about how like we might want to have some sort of breakthroughs in terms of our relationship to the environment. Well, if we can experience our bodies as part of Earth, you know, we are organic beings, we are natural creatures, just as natural as the squirrels and the trees and the plants. So if we can actually be more in our bodies and really experience and enjoy and understand our connection to the physical world and to nature. I mean, I find one of the reasons I think a lot of people, when they get into herbalism, start to become more environmentally aware is because they realize they're natural beings and that the plants in them, and that it's when you experience yourself as nature, it's a lot easier to take care of nature and all of the other ways nature embodies itself. So that is, I think this plant, because it's going to bring people so in touch with their senses and their bodies as a beautiful and natural expression of life, it's going to help them to make maybe some hard changes that perhaps if they were kind of not in their bodies, they might have a harder time doing.
Yeah. This Damiana was easily one of the favorites of our 2023 Roots and Spheres Moon Circle group. We probably got the most positive, overwhelmingly positive feedback about working with that plant. A different moon cycle we worked with it in last year for different reasons in some ways. But this moon cycle is really appropriate since it is about the ideal seeking sensual embodiment. And that's that Pluto-Taurus square. So, you know, I think there's out of 12 moon cycles in the year ahead, there's only two that feature allies from 23 that we used.
Yep.
For some very good reasons, the biggest stars of 2023's urban moon circle, I think. But should we go forward to the next cycle?
Yeah, I just want to say for people who are wondering how to work with Damiana, because I know that's usually people are like, well, that's great to know, but like, what do I do with it? I recommend using this herb as a tea is kind of the ideal. It makes such a delicious, it's kind of like minty and spicy. It's a very unique taste. So if you can find organic Damiana, I know I'll maybe give some links to Adam to include, but a tea, it makes a great tea with a little bit of honey, and you can use it as a tincture, which is alcohol based. And if you don't do alcohol, you can do it as a glycerate. So those are some ways to work with it. And you don't need much, you know, as a tea, just even like half a teaspoonful in 2 cups of water is plenty. It's very strong. And then as a tincture or glycerate, just do like 3 to 5 drops in your mouth twice a day. And that's, I think, a beautiful way to work with the plant.
Yeah, one of the benefits of joining the moon circle is that we, with each plant and each cycle, we guide you through exactly how to use it, exactly when to use it. And we really guide you through how to work with the plant within the cycle and the ups and downs of the cycle, because there's so many aspects that play out throughout it. We pair it alongside of deliberate spiritual exercises or rituals that we have designed in the course, journaling prompts that go with the astrology and the plant. So, you know, we can't give away all of our secrets. So join the course if you want. When we're previewing these herbs, of course, if you're already familiar with herbs, you probably already know how to work with them on some level. And we'll certainly include some links like Ashley just mentioned. But the best way, honestly, to get the most out of what we're suggesting would be to come along the journey of the Roots and Spheres program, where we can really get in there with you and help you through the entire process of a moon cycle working with the plant. Let's go forward to the next moon cycle, which is on May 7th. On May 7th, we have a new moon taking place in the sign of Taurus. Now, what makes this new moon so special is that this new moon is coming off from the April 20th Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus. So they are still within a 3-degree range, and the ruler of Taurus, Venus, is co-present with Jupiter, so both benefics in the same sign, an exalted new moon in Taurus. You couldn't get a more benefic set of signatures in terms of the planets that tend to bring growth, pleasure, happiness in a very stable, earthy, sensually embodied sign. This is maybe one of the most fruitful, stabilizing, benefic moon cycles of the year. This moon cycle also brings to mind the expressing energy of Jupiter, Uranus, and Taurus, which is like a lightning strike combined with a rainbow. It's like a lightning strike that rather than blowing up a tree, it delivers a rainbow wherever it touches. The Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus brings the idea of that new archetype that Uranus is trying to bring through, dating back to that February moon cycle. Remember, as Pluto's entered Aquarius and Uranus keeps doing its work in Taurus. But Jupiter amplifies, speeds up, and greatly broadens or opens the revolutionary impulse of Uranus. And in a seeding moment, that is the seed of a revolution. And with that seeding moment coming in late April, and then followed by Venus going into her home sign, exalted new moon in Taurus, with Jupiter, the other benefic, co-present. This is just such a sensually like opulent Venusian moon cycle. It's really, really beautiful. I think it's probably the one that people are going to enjoy the most on the year. And that's important too, not just to look at the stressful moon cycles, but also, you know, the idea of that there are going to be moon cycles that we feel really supported by. And I see this as probably one of the most potent. The themes that come up are, you know, that Earth can be a paradise, the above and the below joined in our experience of the body and the senses. The themes of comfort, luxury, fertility, security, stability, sensuality, with an emphasis on progress, change, and revolution in relation to the Venusian domain, which is in Taurus, earthly, sensual, embodied, stable, peaceful, and sometimes also deceptively simple. So the plant that we're working with for this powerful cycle that's really riding on the coattails of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in late April is white peony. Ashley, will you tell us about white peony and why we're going to be working with that one in the Roots and Spheres program?
Yeah, I'm really excited for this plant because this is one of my favorite herbs, and it's such a Venus herb. It has scent, beauty, opulence. If you've ever seen a peony, whatever color, it has just these, thousands of petals that just open up. It is just a symbol of abundance and also of softness and femininity and trust. And this herb in particular, we're going to be taking in smaller doses. It does have an influence. It has a little bit of a hormonal influence when taken in higher doses. So we're going to be working with the plant really more as an energetic ally to help us with this really Jupiterian, very feminine opening process of the heart and of the senses. One interesting fact about peony is that peonies cannot bloom without the help of ants. And so a lot of gardeners, you know, in their first few years, they'll see ants covering their peony buds and they're like, oh no, spray the ants. But actually what the peonies do, they're so intelligent. They create this honey and if they press it out from the buds of the flowers. And that honey, that sweet honey, attracts the ants. And then the ants chew at the very ends of the buds. And it helps the peony. It actually is the only thing that allows the peony to open. Without the ants and that cooperative relationship, the peony cannot open and show its glory and pollinate and spread and be abundant and fertile. So I love that cooperation aspect. And there's so many planets in Taurus. And I just feel like there's going to be so many allies. There's going to be so many forces coming together to support this blossoming. And I was like, you know, peony is going to be such a wonderful plant, especially for people who might have a hard time trusting or hard time asking for help or for a hard time just enjoying themselves. You know, they might be like, this is too good to be true. And if that's you, a little bit of peony. And even I would say, if you don't want to take it internally, if you can find peonies at your local farmer's market, or if you grow them or can find them at a florist, just having peonies around you will inspire this trust, this opening, this broadening of your horizons. And I think that's going to be a really nice image to carry with us for this moon cycle.
Yeah. Awesome. That I'm really excited for that one as a Taurus rising. I'm like, ooh, can't wait. Can't wait. That should be fun. I think that moon cycle will be, I think people will experience that as a supportive moon cycle. There's always some twists and turns in every moon cycle. And you can look at the seeding point of the cycle to know what it's about and why the cycle, what message the cycle is really carrying. And that's a really powerful supported Venusian Taurian, symbol with Jupiter Uranus with both benefics. I mean, just a really nice congregation. I love that idea of there being a congregation of planets, meaning that there's a lot of things and people, maybe in allies and assets and resources, kind of coming together at once to do something special. Well, the next moon cycle, the last one that we're going to preview today, takes place on June 6th. And this one is a moon cycle that also follows another one of the major planetary shifts of the year, which is the shift of Jupiter into Gemini, which happens in late May. So I think it's about, it's going to be about May 25th that Jupiter enters Gemini. And then on June 6th, shortly after Jupiter enters Gemini, we get this new moon. What's so interesting about this new moon is that it features a Venus Kazemi at the same time as the new moon. That's really powerful that Venus is at the heart of the sun in Gemini as Jupiter, the benefic, has entered Gemini, places us with another moon cycle where Jupiter and Venus, the benefics, are co-present. That's wonderful, especially when Venus is at the heart of the sun experiencing a rebirth. Remember also that this cycle is featuring a Jupiter moving into Gemini who is now trining Pluto in Aquarius. One of the great ways that ideas come, transformational ideas, if we go back to Pluto in Aquarius, seek to instantiate themselves in our lives is through cross-pollination, through socialization. There is, once Jupiter enters Gemini, you're into a year for the rest of 2024 where there's a kind of social bumblebee energy moving around. And one of the great themes of Jupiter and Gemini is like cross-pollination. Sometimes that means there's too many irons in the fire, or it's kind of a year of chaos magic where like, lots of different things are happening. You may not stick with all of them, but there's sure to be a few things that make their mark and stick around. And this is a part of what Pluto in Aquarius is trying to do in a larger paradigmatic way, changing the larger structures of our ideals. And it's doing so by trying a lot of different things on this year and by stimulating conversation within ourselves and with other people, especially around opposites, this or that, good or bad, ugly or beautiful, all the different dualities that Gemini tends to embody. We tend to think Jupiter can struggle in Gemini. It's traditionally in its exile in that place because Jupiter wants to bring this kind of larger coherence and unity. But the unity this year is found in experimentation, in play, in curiosity, in bouncing around between opposites. You want to make sure that that doesn't lead to total chaos, disorganization, clutter, and being a little bit aware of that. But this is a very magical and playful moon cycle following Jupiter's entrance into Gemini that I described as excitable, curious, playful, youthful, flirtatious, a dancing of opposites, stimulating in the mind new ideas, placing many irons in the fire, bumblebees socially flying around with maybe some tension or adjustments being made along the lines of the square that is happening during this new moon to Saturn in Pisces. So if you can actually see that the other thing that's happening is this new moon is squaring Saturn in Pisces. So yeah, well, there's this kind of playful energy in the air. There may be a check from Saturn, Neptune, and Pisces, both of those planets, that requires us to be emotionally mature or intelligent, that is about new and playful ideas, but that's also very romantic and kind of magical with Saturn in Pisces. It reminds me a little bit of the Harry Potter stories. In Harry Potter, there's this interesting combination of youthful curiosity. They're all learning magic. They're all kids. They're all playful. They're all curious. They're all sorcerers, apprentices like Mickey Mouse with the wand and, you know, doesn't know what he's doing and creating chaos. And that's a big part of the Harry Potter story, but also the gravitas of learning magic and of dealing with light and dark. So this is a very magical, interesting, moon cycle when you pair it alongside of the square to Saturn in Pisces. And for that reason, we decided to work this cycle in our Roots and Spheres program with elderflower. Ashley, will you tell us about elderflower?
This is going to be such a fun plant, and it matches so perfectly because elder is also called the tree of the fairy forest. And it was thought that if you fell asleep under an elder tree, the fairies will come and carry you away. And that's where missing children go, as they must have fallen asleep underneath an elder tree. So it has a long association with fairies. It has these beautiful clusters of white flowers that the bees love. So that idea of like the social butterfly, I mean, it's got hundreds of flowers per cluster. And another thing that really stands out of why it works so well with Gemini, there's the flowers there, yeah, is is that the white flowers turn into black berries. So we've got this opposite, the white turning black, and both are medicinal. Both the flowers are a little bit more diaphoretic, which means they're more heating. They help with the lungs expanding. They're really, really good for colds and flus. But I think sort of their general energy is that of like being uplifting and dispersing. And then the berries are more, you know, we think of that for elderberry syrup. And that's a little bit more, it's a bit of a different medicine. But the flowers, I think, are going to be really nice because this playful jubilance, this freedom, this desire to expand and explore the territory, this plant is going to really help us feel supported in those explorations. And at the same time, is going to be very supportive for the immune system. So we kind of get to feed two birds with one hand with this herb. But I think it's also been used traditionally for dreams, to support dreams. The Elder Wand, we know in Harry Potter, is the kind of the crown wand. If you get an elder wand, you know, you've made it. So there's a lot of, I think, magical associations with this plant that people will find when they take it either as a tea or as a tincture or as a glycerite, that they'll feel that, that upliftment and then that support.
Yeah. A very magical cycle, that Gemini cycle. I'll never forget. I want to say it was, I'm trying to remember what year it was. I want to say it was like 2011. Let me go back. It might have been 2012. Yeah, I believe it would have been 2012. Yeah, it was 2012 that Jupiter was in Gemini. And it was a very magical year because we were in the process, of course, of launching our yoga studio and pairing herbs and astrology and yoga together. And there were so many magical people that were coming in and out and starting to create the foundation of what would be the community of our yoga studio for, like, you know, 7-8 more years. So I just think back at that point, and I think of like somehow a traveling band of madmen and women, magicians, like sorcerers, you know, poets, like, and I feel like when Jupiter in Gemini comes through, it's like the only thing you have to do is not try to make sense out of all of it too quickly or all at once. Just let the chaos work through and the unity will come. It's frustrating for Zeus, Jupiter, to be like, see, like yielding the power to Mercury, who is a natural opposite to Jupiter. But a year like that is, just a playful exploration of opposites of light and dark. And, I think that that cycle in particular, I'm really excited about because I feel that it may be the most magical and sort of quirky cycle of the year, with Jupiter just entering Gemini and all the both benefics, Venus at the heart of the sun, Kazemi in Gemini at the start of the cycle. So yeah, really magical. I want to tell you guys about Ashley and where you can learn more about her and her work. So let me just pull that up really quick. So you can find Ashley's work at skyhouseherbs.com. And I recommend going over there in the new year, and probably in the next month or two, you're going to see that Ashley has some new classes and modules in her herbal apprenticeship program that will be released in 2024. So make sure you check out skyhouseherbs.com in the new year, because some new offerings will be coming out as Ashley's coming back like part-time from maternity leave for the first time. And I'm really excited for you to get back into teaching a bit.
Thanks. Yeah, me too. I think the last few years have been sort of this inward focused time, and it's really fun having waited until things really got clear to be able to say, okay, yep, this is what I'm going to be teaching. This is how I'm going to be teaching. Yeah. So I should be, you know, I think in January, the website will be updated and people can take a look. I have workshops that are just open to the community if you want to take one-off workshops on herbs. And then I'm going to be doing a series on plant spirit medicine and looking at specific herbs. How do we get to learn the magical side of herbs and pattern seeking? I'm really excited for that series. So that series will start in April, but we'll launch everything in the new year.
Awesome. You can also find Ashley on Instagram at Skyhouse Herbs. That's the handle, to follow the herbal content that she creates, as well as just following all of the interesting ways in which she works with herbs with kids and family too, which is a big part of how she shares her work. And then on YouTube, you can find her weekly podcast at Sky House Herbs. And every week, Ashley usually has a new video, including, I think this one is airing on both of our channels. So people will be listening to this over there too. But you can find her at Sky House Herbs, where she has a nice library at this point of previous talks where you can learn about different plants, different ways of preparing and using medicinal plants, different talks about health, wellness in plants, mental, emotional health, wellness in plants, parenting in plants, all sorts of good stuff. It's truly a wealth of information.
Thank you.
And on that note, I want to tell you guys that, as you all know, we are trying to reach our goal of 1,777 backers by New Year's Eve. We still need some help to go. To get there, we need your support. You can find the link to the Kickstarter in the description of this video or pinned to the top of the comment section. When you go over there, guess what? You could pick up the Roots and Spheres program. Join us for our 2024 Moon Circle. Meet with us, or you can follow along with the recordings if you can't make it live. We have meetings that happen before every new moon and right before every full moon, where we get together, we look at the astrology of the cycle, we check in as a group, we discuss what we've been noticing and experiencing. We also talk about the plant, and we teach you how to work with the plant, where to get it, how to prepare it, how to use it, along with spiritual practices or rituals, and creative projects that we give you to work on, some optional journaling with the planets and plants. And then we come together and we talk about how we are learning and changing in this intentional relationship with every moon cycle. It's a fantastic program. It's our most affordable program too. We try to make the price point super accessible, and it's also on sale through the Kickstarter. Pick the Roots and Spheres reward when you pledge and come join us for the moon cycle, the moon cycles in 2024. We'd love to see you.
We would.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you will enjoy these moon cycles. Be sure to check back in and tell us how they went. When these moon cycles come up, think of this video, come back and tell us your story. Maybe we'll use one of your stories in a grabbed episode too. We'd love to do that. That is it for now. We hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and we will see you again soon. Bye.